and it,
I don't believe the man's superior to the woman, or the husband superior to his wife, but God has created us with different emotions, different capabilities, different responsibilities, and along with the responsibilities that He's given us, why He's given us the ability to function best in those responsibilities. We can easily see that there is a difference between the man and the woman. God in His wisdom has ordained it that way. Now this morning I'm going to try something a little bit different. I feel very, very fearful of writing in public. Everyone follows an outline this morning. Read here, Father. First, I have faith. And under this, I have faith to God. The church. And wife. And family.
I believe that as Christian fathers, or for any father, to really carry out your responsibilities, the God-given responsibilities that we have, we must honor God, we must serve Him, we must keep Him first in our lives. We cannot fulfill our places of responsibility without being faithful to God. I really believe that. Now there are fathers that will do things with their children and so forth, but I really truly believe that a father, to carry out the responsibilities like God would have him do, we must have God first in our lives. This must be our highest priority. We must recognize God's authority over us. We are not the highest authority. We are under Christ. And we must look to Christ for wisdom. We look to God for wisdom, for direction. We do not rule as a dictator. I believe if we would succumb to the thought that I'm in control and everything is going to be done just my way, that we would have very bad results in the home. We are under authority. Even the centurion that came to Jesus recognized that fact, that he was under authority, and we would have thought, well, you know, he was a man of great authority. But he said, I'm also a man under authority. So, fathers, we must feel and understand our insufficiency and inability to perform our responsibilities in our own wisdom and strength. I really believe that. In our own wisdom and strength, we will utterly fail. We need God. We need to be faithful to God and His plan. We have the example of Abraham. We've been studying. It's kind of interesting that we've been studying about Abraham in Bible studies Wednesday evening, and now we've had these series of studies about Abraham in Sunday school. Well, I believe Abraham's life is a real challenge to us, and we can learn many, many things from him. But as he sojourned, he built altars where he worshiped. He faithfully followed God's leading. He recognized his need of God. To our fathers here this morning, show by example to your family that you also are under authority. Show to your children that you want to faithfully obey the commandments of God. Yes, let them see that in your life, in your example, that God comes first, and His commandments are to be obeyed. And willingly, not because you're forced to do it, but that you love to obey God. You know that it's for your good. It's for the good of your families. Let your children see by your example that faithful obedience produces happiness in our experience. Faithful obedience will produce happiness. Fathers, let your children, or help your children come to the place where they see faithful obedience as a privilege and a blessing, and not as a drudgery. I believe that is very, very important. You know, if our children, fathers, if your children see that, yeah, I know God wants me to do this, but I just, you know, it's so hard to do it. Well, that's reverting back to the attitude that children have, that do I have to do this or do I have to do that? And I think as fathers, as parents, we need to show to our children that obedience is a privilege. It's a blessing. Willful obedience is that. And we need to help them overcome that spirit of, do I have to do this or that? As fathers, we need to keep willing obedience a very high priority so we can help our children to come to that experience, to appreciate the blessings of obedience. And we have faithful to the church. Every Christian father will want to be a part of a scriptural church. We know the church was established by God. Jesus purchased the church with His own blood there on the cross of Calvary. Jesus is the head of the church. I'd just like to ask the question this morning, fathers, and to each one of us, but especially to us as fathers, how much do we esteem the head of the church? When we esteem something, we hold it in high regard. We hold it in high regard. So how much do we lift up Jesus in our experience, in our daily lives, in our walk of life? How highly do we esteem Jesus and the church that Jesus bought with His blood? How much do we esteem each member that makes up the body of Christ? I didn't write this reference down. I think it's Romans chapter 8. Should have written it down, but we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but to esteem here, chapter 12. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure. It goes on to speaking about the members in the body. And I think as fathers, we need to esteem the other members in the body and relate to them in that way. What impressions do our children receive from us as they hear us talking about different members in the church, in the body of Christ? Hopefully, we are giving them the example of one that is holding up our brethren, esteeming them better than ourselves. You know, I think there's ways that we manifest how much we esteem and appreciate the church and our fellow members. Number one is by our talk. And I know it's not just our talk, but what do our children hear us saying about others in the church? I had someone tell me some years ago that in their home, too often they ate the preacher at the dinner table. And fathers, that will not work. It will not bring the results that you want to see in your children. Does our talk build a respect in them for the church and each member? Galatians 5:15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another." Another way that we manifest our appreciation and how highly we esteem the church is our participation in the services. Just turn to Hebrews 10, very well-known passage here, but I believe it bears repeating. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." How is our participation in the services? Are we here when there's a service that's planned? And we know it. We know the schedule. Or do we allow the things of this life, the cares of this life to get our attention more than coming together? And I know there can be health issues, there can be various things that can hinder us from coming. But I really believe, brothers, fathers, that in your place of responsibility in the home, that you need to have a clear understanding with your wife and children that when there's a service, we plan to be there. And we plan to be there on time. Or like Brother Harvey used to say, not on time, but be there before time. So that we can be in and seated and in an attitude of worship when the service begins. Yes, fathers, that's your responsibility to see to it that your family is at church. And you know, it's a wonderful privilege that we can do that. What if we had to hide in a cave or out in a dense forest somewhere because we'd be afraid of the authorities of the land. We have it so easy today. We have windows uncovered, the doors, anybody could come in. And let's take advantage. Let's use this tremendous privilege for the honor and glory of God and for the spiritual welfare of ourselves and our families. Father, show to your children by your example that you really love God and His church. Let them see that church attendance is a real joy to you. And attendance is much more important than our work. You know, we have, generally we can work 40 hours a week with no problem. We can get to 60 hours a week. But how many hours are there in a week? I didn't even take time to figure it up, but there's many hours in one week. And out of that week, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 or 6 hours of worship service, public worship service. So let's do our part in getting our families out. And I really appreciate the effort that we see in this, but let's not become lax in it. And if anything, strengthen it, that we get our families out. And then the last point under this is faithful to his wife and children. I've heard say already, and I've probably said it before, but I repeat it again, that fathers, one tremendously important thing that you can do for your children is truly love their mother. Mother has a very tender spot in her heart for her children. And we as fathers ought to also have a real tender spot for each one of our children. As we show our love to our spouse, that's a tremendous help to our children. Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." That's a sacrificial love. I know we've departed from just fathers here to husbands, but it's so intertwined that I don't think we do violence to look at this and speak about it. Jesus gave himself for the church. And fathers, husbands, that's what we need to do for our wives. We need to love them in that way and be ready to make sacrifices for them. When we do that, I think that we will also be ready to make sacrifices for our children. I pity the wife and children when the husband and father enjoys being at a community hangout instead of being at home with his wife and children. I've seen it happen, and it does not bring about good results. It has a bad effect on the home life, on relationships in the home. And it doesn't stay there. Those bad relationships move on into the church, into obedience to God in the church. So fathers, let's be careful to truly love what God has given us. And and enjoy that blessing.
Now moving on to the letter A. Which is kind, loving, or pleasant.
Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. I better turn to that, get it exactly the way it is. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Fathers, this verse is for us this morning. Be loving and kind to your children is not spoiling them. To really love them and be kind to them does not make you a weakling. It's what God expects from you. It's what God expects from me. We don't like to see a spoiled child, but loving them and being kind to them is not spoiling them. When we truly love our children, we will not always give them just what they want. We will try to give them what is best for them. Yes, we will. We would do them a disfavor to always give them exactly what they want. I think Brother Sim said over the pulpit here one time, and I'll just repeat what he says, that if you wanted to raise a brat, give him everything he wants. And that's about the way it is. So, a father needs to be amiable, needs to be kind, loving, pleasant. Discipline must be administered in kindness and love. Yes, it does. This keeps discipline from going into abuse. Fathers, never yell at your children when they've done something that you don't like, that you don't appreciate. It might be something that you've even told them not to do, but don't yell at them. Yelling leads on to other forms of actions that are not Christian. I've been told that in one supposedly Christian home that the dad would kick the boys. I don't see anything real Christian. That's not any family from around here that I'm talking about. I don't want anyone to think I'm talking about your family. I don't believe that kicking is a type of discipline that will bring about godly results. Unchristian practices of discipline will turn the heart of the child away from his or her father. And I'm sure that every father here this morning wants to have his child's heart. Discipline is necessary, but administer it in love and in kindness. For that child, understands that that discipline was not a result of anger, but it was because of God's loving heart. Again, fathers, I would say, if you want your child's heart, be kind, be loving, and be pleasant. Children very soon understand our temperaments. And if we're unpleasant and tend to be unkind, they will withdraw from us. Yes, they will. That is not the way to gain your child's heart. We go on to the letter T. Teacher. I have three different ones here. Teacher, be truthful. Be tender-hearted.
And maybe some of these overlap with what I was just talking about. But as a teacher, first teach your children about God. Yes, that should be our goal, to teach them about God. We need to lead out fathers in family worship. And getting the children together, getting the family together, and read God's Word together. I think it's good sometimes to read Bible stories that our young children can understand. Part of family worship is to help our young children to become acquainted with God and His Word. So, we need to put it down on a level where they can understand. Where it will make an impression on them. In some families, seems like the wife pretty much has to lead out in this, and that's a shame. That's a shame on the fathers. That's our responsibility. Well, we need to teach by example. You know, I think it's very important that our children learn to work, but we first need to show them how to do the job that we're asking them to do. And once we have shown them, then they can go ahead and do the work. If we say you go feed the calves to a youngster that has never fed calves before, he'd be at a loss to know what to do, and it could be very frustrating to him. So let's teach them by example. Take them and show them how to do the work, and then expect them to learn, and might have to show them a couple times how to do it, but expect them then to go ahead after we've been an example to them in that work. I think it's important that we teach our children to enjoy working. It can be done. We can teach them that, but it takes a diligence on the
father's part to do that. I think that sometimes maybe we don't like a certain job and we let it be known that we don't like it. Well, you know, little Johnny is going to learn from that. That even Dad doesn't like to do certain jobs. I remember working construction work when Roy Mast was still building chicken houses in this area. Fred Mast and I would work together along with others and quite often seemed like there was one particular job in the construction of those little steel truss rafter houses that was very unpleasant. Seemed like somehow Fred and I wound up with that various times. And I just remember Fred's advice one time. He said, you know what? He said, when you have something that's unpleasant to do, just get in there and get it done and it's over with. So may we be faithful in teaching our children that whatever the task, it doesn't have to ruin our day. We can make it be pleasant. And also, be truthful. Fathers, and for the mothers also, it's so important that we're truthful to our children. Just yesterday, I heard a mother talking to her little child in the grocery store about Santa Claus is going to give him this, give him that, whatever, you know. It's always some conditions tied to it, or almost always. Be truthful to your children. Teach your children to be truthful. And how are you going to do that if you're not truthful to them? If you expect something of them that you are not, you're a hypocrite. That's just the long and the short of it. They will finally get to the age where they can see right through that hypocrisy. Years ago, my wife was helping out with a family for a while something for food that was fixed. I think maybe it was the green beans or something was wrong with them. One of the children said, Mom, who fixed the green beans? Did Ruby do it? Yeah. Well, Ruby had not done it. And where are those children today? As far as I know, there's two that might be, that are in very, very liberal Mennonite settings. The rest are gone. Be truthful to your children. You know, fathers, when you make a mistake, go back and tell your children, you know, I'm sorry, I messed up here. And ask them to forgive you. You will only build respect. They will only build respect in the hearts of your children for you. If you discipline them for telling an untruth or whatever, and then you fail, but you're not willing to go back to them and ask for forgiveness, that will tear down relationships. Never fear to go back and make something right with your family. And we need to be tender-hearted. We need to be compassionate. I believe, fathers, that our children we'll get impressions of how our Father, God, is by the way we relate to them, to our children. You know, they're too young yet to understand a whole lot about God. They're responsible to their parents. But if they see in their parents that we're truthful, that we keep God first in our lives, that we're tender-hearted, we're compassionate, and all these attributes of God, that these attributes are working in our lives, they're active in our experience, it will give them impressions about God, how He is. To be tender-hearted does not mean that we allow them to do whatever they want to do. Not at all. But tender-heartedness takes gruffness out of our place of authority. I believe a father that is tender-hearted makes it easy for his child to come and share what's bothering him. Because he knows that dad will have time to listen. And he'll be compassionate. That he will be... He won't be scolding him. But rather, dad will be there to help him through this problem. But if our child sees that when they come to us that what in the world did you do that for? You know better than that. And just give them a good boxing of the ears, and they won't come to us the next time. Be compassionate. Be tender-hearted. Do not ridicule your child when they come with their problems. Think of the example of Jesus in Mark chapter 10. The disciples didn't have time for these little children that their mothers brought to Jesus. Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. They brought young children to him that he should touch them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." So Jesus had a heart of compassion and love for small children. And I think that's an example for us as fathers today, that we follow the example of Jesus.
We have the next letter, H. Holy.
First Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in every area of life, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We serve the holy God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, the seraphims cried one to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts." And then God tells us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Fathers, take up the challenge here to be holy. To live pure lives. Lives that are without rebuke. You know, we live around our children all the time. And they will see right through our inconsistencies. I don't think we ought to, we shouldn't think for a minute that we can keep some unholiness in our life and have it hidden from our children. Yes, it might take a while for it to come out, but sooner or later, our children will see that if we're hiding sin in our hearts, in our lives, our children will see that. And it will be a great discouragement to them. So let's live holy lives before our children, for our families. Hebrews 12, verse 14, says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Another reason for keeping our lives holy. We if we fail in this, if we allow something in our lives that is contrary to the will of God, we lose our own salvation and we will turn our children away from God.
Had another getting under this also is in the poem. We talked about that somewhat, taking our place of responsibility.
But God holds us as fathers responsible for carrying out our responsibilities that He has given us. We're the spiritual leaders in our homes. I don't believe that a young man should even consider marriage until he is ready to accept this responsibility of being the spiritual leader in the home, where he sees to it that the family altar is kept. See to it that there is a godly atmosphere in your home. Show by your example of life that such things as quarreling, bickering, fighting, talking back, etc., are not allowed in your home. Along with our responsibility, I think, is we need to teach our children to be thankful. No complaining about the food that mom has prepared. Now, I know we all have our likes and dislikes, but you know when our children, fathers, when our children hear us voice our opinion about some for food that we do not like, can we expect our children to like it? No. I thank God for a father that was very strict on that. And yes, I have my likes and dislikes, but about the only thing that I really can hardly take is olives. But, you know, if they were served, well, I would want to be gracious and eat them. And don't hesitate to feed me olives if you have them. But just tell you a little incident about Sim. You probably heard that. He fussed about the green beans that Dad put on his plate. Well, when he opened his mouth in complaining, he received another spoonful. And when he complained again, he received a third spoonful. Finally, he decided, you know what, I better be quiet. He had to eat those green beans, and today he enjoys them. So let's take our place of responsibility. Our wives, have you ever thought about it? To fix three meals a day and never fix anything that no one to fix something that everybody's going to like. I don't know. Y'all ever read the book about the seven piffle sniffs? I just don't have any time for that kind of carrying on. Children need to learn to sit up to the table and eat what's before them and enjoy it and give God thanks for it.
Equitable. We don't hear that word very often, maybe, but simply means to be fair, just, dealing fairly and equally with everyone. If you only have one child, I guess it'd be kind of hard to have favorites in the family. But the Lord usually blesses families with at least one or more, not always. But when we have a family of more than one, we need to be very careful. We do not have favorites.
Each one is a blessing from God. Certain family, there was one of the children that mother said that they did not want that child. Well, the child was born. And I don't know. I don't know how much that has affected this person's life, but he's had a life of troubles. You know, God does not have favorites. He says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. He also says, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's just how God operates. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, but he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. We all come to God at the foot of the cross. God deals with all of us the same way to get us saved. And then, yeah, in our experience, in our walk of life, why, yes, he deals with us in various ways according to our situations, what we need. But God does not have favorites. I think we need to recognize that and operate from that same platform. That each child that God has blessed us with is a blessing. And we're thankful for that child and we're interested in spiritual welfare. We want to see that child make it to glory. And if we have favorites, we will cause division. We will cause many heartaches to make up for one and put down another is not God's will. When children, two or more children have done something and the one has really gotten on to and the others seem to go free, that's a terrible injustice. We need to be very careful that does not happen. We want to deal fairly and equally with our family, our children. The last is be resourceful. And that simply means able to deal with new or difficult situations and find solutions to problems. Fathers, this morning, help your children develop an imagination, of course, within limits. Children's imagination sometimes can get pretty wild. But, you know, in the world in which we live, we can spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on toys and gadgets for our children. And I don't think it's wrong for our children to have some toys. But you know, when I was growing up, my dad was a farmer. We boys learned to enjoy farming. And as little children, we would have our little fields that we would plow and plant. And you know, an old canning jar lid, fold that over about halfway, makes a wonderful plow. It did down at Norfolk, Virginia anyways. Or a spoon. You don't have to have a bright green John Deere tractor, a Case IH tractor with a six bottom plow behind it. There's no imagination there. Anyways, it was fun. Why, that old lid bent over and the putt-putt sound of a two-cylinder John Deere coming out of the mouth, that was tremendous fun. So, fathers, be resourceful. Help your children to enjoy simple things. Help them to understand that These earthly things will pass away. They're temporal. They rust. They wear out. So again, fathers, may we be faithful in teaching our children, seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, which is by far the most important. May God bless each father here this morning with wisdom to carry out your responsibilities for His glory. Let's kneel for prayer.